I can't believe
Mikey.
I'm on the line with Ray Hudson. This is so exciting. This is huge for the pod.
Listen, Mike, let me jump in here. Let me interrupt you in a very rude way, because you guys at Managing Madrid give me the framework of a game every week, week in, week out, on what the bare bones of the game is coming about. And I want to thank you and all the lads at Managing Madrid for what you do, your dedication, your professionalism, your insight, your knowledge, all of those things, and least of all, your passion.
This is the Managing Madrid podcast.
Take it back. He didn't prevent the corner. Number six, and it's Thiago, their third different taker. And that one's on frame from Arturo Vidal. Bayern with the first goal in this quarter, finally, and Real Madrid.
Well, Vidal just left one-on-one against Ben. It's at the far post. It is Nacho who loses his marker, and it's Vidal who powers it home straight down the center of the goal. There is no excuse for that as a marker. It is just 1v1. You have got to either block your man or go and attack the ball.
One for Carvajal. Ronaldo right on the scene. That's all he needs is a half inch of space, 90 seconds into the second half, and it's all square in Munich. 96th career Champions League goal for Cristiano Ronaldo, more than any man in history.
Real Madrid needed to get more possession in the midfield. They did have that. It allows your fullbacks to go forward. You even see Marcelo in the screen. Carvajal goes forward. Cristiano Ronaldo checks his run back to the penalty spot. And this is not easy to do. It's in the air. You have a defender in front of you. You have the world's best goalkeeper. You keep it low. His feet are set. He gets a good push off, but can't keep it out. 1-1. Enormous away goal.
Asensio now on the left. He'll hook in the cross. Looking for Ronaldo. And it's stuck through that time. Neuer couldn't keep it out. Ronaldo second. His 100th career goal in European competition. And Real Madrid have swung this first leg on its head.
Well, it was said moments ago. Real Madrid were starting to take advantage of having a man up. There's no pressure to him. He's allowed to turn. What a good ball right in behind Boateng. Definitely onside. And this one, Neuer gets himself set. He does all the hard work, getting that big frame set, gets his feet set, and he'll be really disappointed that this just trickles in between his legs after a few magnificent stops today.
Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. This is your host, Keon Subani. I'm joined by Omarvin today on a Wednesday night, just after Real Madrid has come out of Bavaria with a massive 2-1 victory. Om, how are you doing after that, man?
I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy about how things went down, all said and done, at the end of the day.
So we have a very limited time for tonight's podcast, so as we won't follow tradition where we'll spend a chunk of the game, chunk of the time talking about the game and then moving into questions, we're actually going to move straight into questions. And I think all the questions will cover the game basically. And if they don't, we'll add on some things that weren't covered. So the first question is, we have three patron questions today. The first question is from Thomas Berg. And Thomas is, this one is not directly related to the game, but he's asking if we know about statistical websites. Which are our favorite statistic sites? What methods are they using together? Data, heat maps, pass accuracy, cover distance. I mean, I don't think we can spend too much time on this question, Thomas, but I will say in terms of heat maps, who scored is very good. Pass accuracy 442 stat zone is very good too. Do you wanna chime in on this? I know you're the tactics guy, so.
No, I mean, those are the two sites I go to all the time. I mean, they basically cover everything you need. Who scored is like, it gives you like the numbers right in front of you. And the only visual thing it really gives you is heat maps. It does kind of have like where you can see the stats on a board, but if you want like to really see like how did the passes, like how did they look on the field, you want to go to 442 stat zone.
So now we'll move on to some questions that are a bit more relevant to what happened in Munich today. Anton Hackberg, a patron, says, how much of a better team would Real Madrid be if we had Neuer in goal?
We'd be better. I mean, I don't think it's like this drastic thing where suddenly we're just like, you know, the greatest team by far, but Neuer's the best goalkeeper in the world, and we saw that today. And Navas hasn't been in the greatest form this season, so if Neuer was playing for us, we'd obviously be better. But, you know, I think it would have made a difference because Navas hasn't been the greatest, but, you know, I don't think it's like something we should dwell on too much.
I mean, we should talk about Neuer, because in the second half, Real Madrid went on a fury of counterattacking chances. And I, you know, we'll get into this, I'm sure, at some point. A dramatically different second half where Real Madrid actually, in a way, I thought looked like the 2014 S team that went in there and actually played a really good counterattacking scheme. It wasn't quite on that level, but it was enough where Real Madrid could actually come away with a few more goals here. Neuer was incredible, but at the same time, he did let in, would you say, a soft goal on Ronaldo's second? He could have done better there for sure.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think he was really expecting it to come that way. Like, I don't know. I just think it was an amazing shot from Ronaldo, the way he took it with the cleats. And it's always really difficult for goalkeepers to save it in between their legs because they're so concerned about the corners. So, I mean, on very rare occasions, I'd like really criticize a goalkeeper if it goes through their legs. But, you know, from Neuer's standards, maybe, you know, based on what he was displaying today, I think he would feel like he could have saved that.
I think we should use this moment to talk about Ronaldo's greatness. I really think he...
Like, sure.
We should shoehorn him in right now. We're not going to wait for any questions about him. Ronaldo today was absolutely, I thought, just phenomenal. To me, he was the best player on the pitch. I don't know, you may agree or disagree, but I think you would agree at least he was insanely important. And what I noted was, apart from his brace, which were massively important goals that just showed his massive balls, his work rate without the ball, like there were a few instances in this game where he was actually back defending deep. He cuts off passing lanes or helps press and then helps cover Marcelo's, you know, on the left back dealing with Robin. And he'll just intercept passes or he'll retain possession and start counters from deep. And I thought there were so many instances in this game where Ronaldo did so many good things without the ball. And apart from his two goals, we've been saying this a lot in 2017, but we've seen a lot of vintage Ronaldo lately. Even if the stats haven't been there, the eye test has been incredible. Do you want to give me your thoughts on Ronaldo? And do you agree that he was the best player on the pitch, or at least up there?
I completely agree with everything you said. If you look at, like, we were discussing stats, so if you go to 442 stat zone, look at the player stats and look at Ronaldo's passes received. I mean, he's received it all over the place, like in really, really deep situations. And we often look at him as like a poacher, and he didn't really play as a poacher today. We defended in a 4-5-1, and Ronaldo was really defending as a left winger. It wasn't a defensive 4-4-2 until Bayern went a man down. He was really tracking back and helping, and that was great. And the one thing I just loved about the first goal that he scored is he was running into the box at full speed. And then he just does these movements in the box that are just so intelligent. He checks his run. If you look at the replay, he checks it, you know, as the defender, you know, just assumes he's running forward and then moves sideways. So he gets a completely free shot in the box. And a lot of people are going to say that's bad defending or anything, but those are the types of movements world-class players make just instinctively because they've done it so often in the past. And it proved decisive. Like, those are the types of movements no one really likes to talk about because it's not flashy or anything. But that was the movement that decided whether he was going to get that opportunity in the box. And it's just classic Ronaldo. He was brilliant today.
Another patron question from Julie Suze Krakowski. Julie Suze asks, you mentioned that he is not being used well, but isn't it also that Benzema drifts much more often to the left and connects with Ronaldo? It can also be well seen on 11-10 Gen 11 pass maps. I'm not sure what Julius was referring to specifically, but unless Gabe said something, but I didn't say Benzema wasn't being used well. I think Benzema's position in the team makes sense. I think Bale may not necessarily be used well. I think we could make better use of Bale. But go ahead.
I think what she's, I could be wrong, but I think what she's like saying is that Bale might not be used well, and that Benzema moves over to the left more often and helps Ronaldo out, but doesn't necessarily like make those same runs on the right and help Bale out as much. And I feel like that's sort of accurate, because we know Benzema has for a very long time been very comfortable moving into that left channel so Ronaldo can come into the center. Especially since like Ronaldo began losing his dribbling ability. So, you know, I think that is a factor in Bale maybe not have been as great since he came back from injury. But again, this is something like he's thrived without for a very long time. So it might be just down to his own form.
There's a question that just came in from Hassan Ali, another patron. He asks, it's a great result, but the obvious talking point here is that the team has been as bipolar as its fan base this season. Ooh, that's a hot take. There has been hardly a game where Madrid didn't play two very different halves. What's the explanation for that? I still can't wrap my head around it. And actually, it's one of those things that it's hard to pinpoint because you just don't know why. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of people in this game saying it was the Asensio sub. It was Bale coming off. But I don't think it was. Even like right after the half, Bale, I thought, improved his play in the second half. And Real Madrid, before Asensio even came on, they were playing really well. They all of a sudden started clicking with the very same 4-3 with BBC. So I think there's way more to it than just the simple Asensio sub, because I thought in the second half, Bale was much better than the first, and he started to find more efficient ways to use the counterattack. But how can you pinpoint this on? Like, I'm really kind of lost in where to pinpoint it.
Well, for this specific game, I feel like what happened in the first half was, we looked pretty poor in the way we were trying to distribute out for the back, but I give the majority of credit to Bayern Munich because I thought their press was excellent. I thought what Ancelotti did was superb. You had Thiago pushing up with Müller or Ribery, and you had the two wide men dropping deep, and you had really good support from Vidal and Alonso, and Vidal was a beast, especially with his pressing. And it was just so organized. It was extremely good, and literally from the first second, they were pressing us super hard, and it just rattled us. And if you put yourself in that match situation where you haven't been given a second to breathe, you're going to start making those types of mistakes. My theory is that when the half ended, Real Madrid had time to kind of sit down and breathe and like recover from that. Zidane was able to look at all of his players and say, look, focus. We have a plan to get out of this press. You know how they're going to approach it. Focus. And I feel like they just came out, and because you saw that the first touch was there, the passes started to be accurate. And that's really just, I feel like it's a focus thing. They came on, they knew what they were going to get. They had time to breathe from Bayern's press, and then they executed better. And then once Martinez got sent off, the whole game changed. Like, for me, that was the game changer. I know Ronaldo scored before that, but I still felt the game was pretty even. Once Martinez went off, there was no question in my mind that we were going to win that game because Bayern couldn't press like that anymore.
So before Martinez got sent off, so you think that, because I also had similar notes. I thought in the first half, I thought Bayern defensively were incredible. Their transition on defense was very good, and when Real Madrid just couldn't come back on the counter for the sheer reason that when they looked up to sling back, there was no outlets. I mean, that's why Bale, I think, misplaced like 3 or 4 passes in the first half. He just wasn't sure what to do with the ball, and there wasn't a clear passing lane. And if he wanted to try to force it up front to Bale to Ronaldo or Benzema, it was very difficult to do. So you think it's just a matter of Real Madrid at halftime discussed and said, okay, this is how we escape the press. Like, do you think that it really just came down to that?
I think we already kind of had a plan to escape presses, like, because we had naturally really good press resistant players, and Zidane just kind of builds off of that. Like, he creates basic like triangles, like, you stand here and you stand here like next to this player to create a passing outlet and then figure it out. You guys are really good individually. If a player comes at you, find a way to like make those triangles work. I think it was a question of Zidane like emphasizing that again, and then the players just coming in more focused and more calm, like ready for what was going to be thrown at them, and they just executed better.
So, I mean, to keep continue on Hassan's point in terms of the first half and second half, I think the other thing we can discuss is that, you know, it was dramatically different, that's for sure. And it the victory was with bittersweet on because you really felt that Real Madrid could have and should have come away with the third goal had they been a bit more efficient on those attacks in the second half. Do you think that, you know, not securing that third goal will drastically affect this tie? Because eventually it would have been put to bed with the third goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that if we got the third goal, it's over, and that we haven't got the third goal, there's still a chance for Bayern. But I wouldn't really hold it against the team because Neuer was just incredible. Like, sometimes I feel like there's a couple of chances where we could have done better, but when I look at most of them, I was mostly happy with how they were taken. You look at our expected goals. I wouldn't say we overperformed. We scored two goals. Our expected goal was 1.7, so that's pretty good. Like, it's, you know, we basically met, you know, we surpassed expected goals a little bit. You'll expect that with the quality players we have. I just think Neuer was incredible. Sometimes you just have to hold your hands up and just look at an opposing like performance. Like when teams played against us last season, you could say they could have scored more goals against us, but Navas was just incredible. I don't think you can take that out of the equation because Neuer is still a part of the team. So overall, I'm just happy because honestly, I came into this thinking we're going to lose, and the first half played out pretty much exactly how I thought it would be, but the response in the second half was good. The red card changed everything, and the fact that we came out of this with the win and a really good psychological boost after like relatively poor performances the past couple of games, you know, I'm just really satisfied with what I saw today.
You said you thought you were expecting a loss in this game, right?
Yeah, 2-1 loss is what I predicted.
Let me ask you something. Do you think it takes a really intelligent man, like a true guru of the game, to predict a win in this game?
Just because you predicted a win? Did you predict a win?
Did I not only predict a win, I predicted a 2-1 away victory.
Oh my god. I mean, sure, Keon, I'll round of applause to you. Yeah, I think if you predicted it playing out this way, then yes, I'll say it takes a true guru to do that.
The other note I had here, which I didn't see mentioned at all in any of the post-match comments or any articles anywhere, really, I think one important factor from first half to second half was the individual performance of Casemiro. Because at halftime, I had noted that I thought he was a huge liability. I didn't think that any of his defensive attributes in this game in the first half trumped. One, his passing on the back was bad in the first half, and two, there were instances building on the back from Ramos and Modric in particular where Casemiro was open in the passing lane and they would just look him off because they just didn't trust him. And then in the second half he was incredible. I think he had overall, first of all, he had that really amazing pass to Carvajal, which broke Bayern for the first goal. That was a really key moment, was that pass. And the other thing is that Bayern tried to come back at Real Madrid several times in the second half, especially before the Martinez red card. And Casemiro did really well to stop up possession. I think he... I posted this on Twitter. Let me just quickly check. He had 9 tackles and an interception. And I thought in the second half he was much more improved than in the first half, which was quite
good. Yeah, I would say he improved in the second half. I think the first half, I think he was shaky like everyone else. I don't think, at least before he had those knocks, especially the second one, I thought he was like as poor in possession as everyone else. After he got that second knock where his knee bent really badly, and I thought that was a serious injury, I thought he was terrible after that. But I think that's because he was hurting, and you know, when you get a knock like that, it's just going to throw everything off balance. And so when he had the time to kind of, you know, rest a bit in the dressing room, and then he comes out at halftime and makes that pass, and Ronaldo scores that goal, the whole dynamic of the game changes, because you could see everyone become so much more confident after that, because Bayern was battering us, you know, for half that game. And once we scored, there was that belief again. And I feel like Casemiro really felt that. And once that whole team started to really believe as a collective, like, Casemiro just started to do the things he was naturally good at. And that was shutting players down every time they attacked us.
This question from Adrian J. Fess at Twitter. He says, Carvajal is the best right back in the world. Comment on that.
Agreed.
You agree?
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is... We have, like, a couple players who are at the tail ends of their careers and past their peak, like Lam and Dani Alves. I think after that, the torch gets passed to Carvajal.
I feel like Carvajal has been the best right back in the world for a good, like, two seasons, season and a half now.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I especially this season, I think he's been incredible. I can't imagine going into a lot of these big games without him. I think he's, in terms of his, like, his MVP factor, or like where this team would be if he's not on the field, I think he's pound for pound. He's just as important as anyone almost.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one was a hot topic. So we kind of already touched on it. So, but if you had any extra thoughts, just let me know. @J_ViaCresas on Twitter says, the effect that the Bale substitution had. Comment on that. Asensio was fire. Also, how thankful are you that Ramos didn't get a yellow?
Yeah, so basically what I said, I don't really think it was the Asensio substitution, because Asensio came off after the goal. Came on after the goal, right?
He came on after the first goal, yeah.
Right, and okay, so he comes on in the 59th minute, and in the 61st minute, Javi Martinez gets sent off. You know, I love Asensio. I think he was incredible today. I think he did, like, everything we could have expected of him, like, he did today. But I really do think it was that Javi Martinez red card, and it coincides nearly perfectly with when Marco Asensio came on. Mm. You know, I've been critical of Bale in his past games, but I thought today he was actually better than he was in the past. Like, I would have been fine with him staying on. Like, I didn't really see him as a problem. I wasn't that mad when Asensio came on either, because I knew he was going to put in a good performance. But I don't think that really had that effect people are trying to, like, associate with that substitution. And also, I'm obviously really thankful Ramos didn't get a yellow card, because he would have been suspended for the next Bayern game, I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised that this is the game that everyone's freaking out over Bale. I did think he struggled in the first half, but I also think that if you put in an extra midfielder in there to help relieve some of his duties and to freely roam a bit and be more efficient on the counter, you really will get a better use of Gareth Bale. Having said that, I thought he really improved in the second half, like we talked about already. And it, like you pointed out, the Asensio sub coincided with that red card, which means Asensio had a lot more space to work with.
Yeah.
There's a question here from Parth Vats on Twitter. He says, why did the boss substitute Bale? I guess today he was giving a decent performance and could have helped in a bigger lead too. So I just want to bring this up quickly, because Zidane in the press conference, post-game presser, he said that someone asked him why he made this sub, and he said Bale actually felt a niggle
He felt in his calf, right?
Yeah, in his calf, and they just didn't want to risk him, which is, you know, more than okay with me, because you also have El Clasico coming up, plus the second leg.
Yeah.
And I think, but also just to bring it up quickly again, Asensio was very good. I particularly love that Asensio just kind of comes into these huge games, or this game at least, one of the biggest stages in the world. And he's a young kid. He hasn't played that much. In a sense, he's kind of cold. And he just looks so composed. Like, he didn't let nerves get in the way. He didn't look like the stage was too big for him. I think that's a great sign. Question from Rahul Kalvapal on Twitter says, Nacho got out-muscled and out-hustled by Vidal. How is he, and how will Ramos, for that matter, cope with Lewandowski in the second leg? And before Om, I know you probably have some thoughts on this. Nacho, I thought he could have done way better on Vidal for the goal conceded. I'm not saying he could have out-jumped or out-leaped Vidal, but he could have done a bit better to put a body on him, at least chase him and just force him or pressure him to to leap a bit more in a more contested manner for that goal. After that, he kind of recovered, and this was staggering to me. I looked at his dashboard on 442. He didn't misplace a single pass all game, not a single one. And he had 6 clearances and 3 interceptions. Seven clearances, sorry, and 3 interceptions.
I think overall Nacho was good. Like you said, you went and looked at the dashboard, and overall he had a solid game. But I do think this is a valid question, and not necessarily because I think Nacho is a poor defender, but because he very specifically, he says Nacho got out-muscled and out-hustled. Nacho is a small guy, and size matters as a center back, especially when you're facing guys, or you're going to face guys like Lewandowski. And I was especially worried about this game because I thought Lewandowski was going to play, and I only figured out today he wasn't. And I just thought that the matchup between Nacho and Lewandowski didn't look good at all, because strikers like him are going to try to find the weak link. And I don't really want to call Nacho the weak link, because that's kind of like cruel, and I don't really think he is a weak link. But within that back line, he would have definitely been the one Lewandowski would have gone after. And Lewandowski's a big guy. He's the type of striker who bullies defenders. And he was able to bully Sergio Ramos, you know, that many years ago, who isn't a small guy himself. You know, I just think it matches up perfectly. And so in the second leg, Pepe, I don't think is coming back, and neither do I think Varane. So, yeah, I would be worried about that matchup, especially in the air. Lewandowski is a very good header of the ball. And we saw, like, today how Nacho was just simply beat in the air by Vidal, who's a superior physical player, and that's going to be a weakness. But there's nothing we can really do about that. And overall, you know, especially if it's anything to do with like through balls or anything, I'm mostly confident in Nacho's ability.
There's a lot of questions here asking why James instead of Isco. And I mean, I don't know. This is such a subjective thing. If it was the other way around, we'd get the same questions from a different group. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think James was long enough to really make a lasting impression either way, but I don't know. Do you want to chime in on this?
I think it's because he took Benzema off, right, and Ronaldo became a center forward. I think it's because Zidane wanted that third goal. He could smell that the third goal was possible. And offensively, just in a pure offensive sense, there's no debate that James is better than Isco, especially when you think about the fact that Ronaldo became the center forward, meaning that we were just going to launch crosses into the box. James is one of the best crossers on the team by far, definitely better than Isco in my opinion. So I think that's what Zidane's thinking was. I think if it was, for example, a different situation where like he wanted press resistance or something, he would have put Isco instead of James. So, you know, I'm just speculating, but that seems to make sense to me.
Let's take one more question and wrap it up. Question from Antoine Mac and Fiester. It says, Morata or Benzema? Benzema cost us a lot of chances tonight. Outside the box, he just hasn't got the skill to keep the ball or create chances. Morata is more clinical when it comes to finishing, with more goals to minutes played this season than Benzema, and he also has the skill to contribute fully to an attack. I'll be honest, I actually, there's times where I forget Morata's on this team. I disagree with the idea of that Benzema doesn't got the skill to keep the ball or create chances. Actually, I would argue that's his bread and butter. But I do remember, now that this question is being asked, that one of Morata's best performances last season came against, was it last season when they played against Bayern?
In
Munich, yeah, with Juventus. And I thought he was maybe Juventus's best player on the pitch that night. So while I love Benzema, I also don't think the stage is beyond Morata to make an impact. So I'm not against this. It's just that you're at a point where you're juggling an insane depth chart. How do you do it? And sometimes the alternative is going for Ronaldo up top rather than another striker if there's a substitution to be made.
I mean, I don't know. Like, in a game like this, where Bayern Munich is going to press you the way you did, because I think everyone knew Bayern was going to press like this. I'd prefer Benzema over Morata, because Benzema is the type of player who's going to come deep, aid the midfielders in circulating the ball and retaining possession, and Morata is the type of player who would go to the wings or try to like drive in the channels and look for a more direct route. And I'm of the opinion that you've got to play through presses. Like, there's been a lot of like, you know, proper statistical studies done on that, and you know, playing through presses, if you have the players to do it, is definitely, you know, a more successful way to go about things as a general game plan. So in that sense, I'd always pick Benzema in this type of game. This whole like Benzema isn't clinical argument, we've gone over this several times. I feel like I said this so many times before. I feel like everyone knows my opinion. I feel like that's overblown. I thought today he had like one header which he could have done better to keep down, but really I don't look at any of those chances and think, you know, Benzema just absolutely had to score, and if Morata was there, it was a definite goal. I was happy with his performance today.
All in all, while a third goal was attainable, Manuel Neuer was incredible, and Real Madrid still came away with a very, 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 very impressive result, a 2-1 away victory to one of the toughest teams in the entire planet. And this makes things a bit easier in the second leg, but the job is still far from done. Lewandowski will be back, and Bayern will be hungry. So I guess this is it from Oman myself. We'll chat again. We'll do another podcast after the Gijón match, and then Bayern again for the second leg. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And from myself and Omarvind, take care, and Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.